Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's up, all? Aaron, but not that Aaron, here to tell you about SifPop Writer's Room. For the past several years, there have been a growing amount of writers for SifPop.com providing best ever challenges, movie reviews, themes, legacies, connections, and so much more. SifPop Writer's Room is where that all comes together, giving a voice to those words that you read. And on the show, every week is excellent, getting to chat such a wide variety of movies with a wide variety of movie lovers, and I'm really having a lot of fun with the show, and I just think that you would too. So check out SifPop Writer's Room wherever you listen to your podcast, and we'll see you over there. Just remember to knock first.
There he is.
There he is.
You're looking good. Something's different.
As are you.
Something's different. Okay. How do I turn the notification thing off so it doesn't ding?
You could just leave it on, and every time it happens, you could say, "I've got an idea," and that'll be our running joke the whole time.
Okay. Let's do that.
I've got an idea. Just ask for us to pause, and then we'll keep moving forward.
That is amazing. I just had this idea. I know, it's crazy. And then I have to say something.
What if boys could swim as fast as sharks?
Boys. Just boys.
Boys.
Not men, not women.
No.
Just boys.
We know that answer. Boys.
Yeah, boys.
What Else with Corey Mann on the Studio DNA Podcast Network.
Well, I'm so excited to have this next guest on the podcast, a 6'4" point guard from San Diego State. In my notes, he's from Los Angeles, Brandon Heath.
Wow, common mistake. I think you went to the wrong Wikipedia page.
Oh, no, not again. Yeah.
And not again. Yeah, that's never happened, ever.
Yes, total transparency. I go looking at all different spots, and I see your Wikipedia page. Then I see this basketball player, and I'm like, oh, this is funny.
You know, it's funny. Early on in my career, like beginning, and I will not say this person's name that was interviewing me, but they went to the Wikipedia page of a guy named Heath Brandon.
Ooh.
Yeah, I mean, to his credit, like, he's a musician. He's from New York. Apparently, his mother and father were in education. And so that's kind of how the interview led. Like, so you're from New York. Your family's, you know, from education. Tell us about what that was like. I was like, wow. And then it dawned on me, he's talking about Heath Brandon right now. So, poor guy.
We've okay, all got years. Stories.
We've all got them. If you've been in it long enough, you got stories.
Let's start with a little show and share. What do you say?
Sounds great.
So I'll hold up an album of yours, and then you just, wherever your little mind goes, okay?
Okay.
I've got
I go back and listen to my early stuff all the time.
I love that. What are we looking at right here?
We're looking at Don't Get Comfortable, my debut album. Like national release debut album. I had two independent records before that one, but that one was the first like real deal.
What comes to mind here when you see this?
Well, I'm thinking about the cover. My photographer was my friend Jeremy Cowart, one of my closest friends actually, and he was really just getting into photography and has since kind of exploded. Literally no thanks to me. I have nothing to do with that. But he said, just do something that looks kind of uncomfortable, because we knew that the record was Don't Get Comfortable. I was like, well, what if I just leaned over to the left?
That's a tough lean on that album cover.
It's a yoga pose, I suppose. Yeah, I was really leaning into it. So that's what we did. Don't Get Comfortable.
Has anyone ever asked you to recreate this in a photo with them, like after a show?
Yeah, yep. Every once in a while, I will get that. And it was I kind of made a logo out of it and called it the Leaning Man. And that was kind of my moniker or my logo for 15 years. I've stopped using it recently.
But do you still perform songs off this?
Yep. I still do I'm Not Who I Was, which, you know, is probably my favorite song, arguably the best song I'll ever write. Partly because of what it was about, which was forgiveness. Another part, it was, I did not have a publishing deal or record deal at the time, and I thought, you know, there was no motivation other than this pure need to forgive somebody. And that's what it was about.
I wish you could see me now. I wish I could show you how I'm not who I was. I used to be mad at you, a little on the hurt side too, but I'm not who I was. I found my way around to forgiving you some time ago, but I never got to tell you.
Album number two?
Yep. The immediate thing that comes to mind, What If We, the title came from Bob Goff. We were literally having a conversation watching a sunset. He was like, I've been thinking a lot about the phrase, what if we? He said, all really great things start with what if we? Because people don't really do things together, but, you know, or don't do things alone. They do them as a team, or the more successful people do them as a team. What if we, and that's kind of where the idea for the title came. But when I look at that cover, that shirt that I'm wearing is actually a blue shirt that they turned orange.
What city is this?
That is Nashville. That's pre-boom, before we had like high rises everywhere. That's I'm actually standing on a high rise, and behind me is looking over West Nashville.
This to me is when success hits Brandon Heath. Would you agree with that? And if so, how did life change?
Yeah, I would agree with that. You know, it was the perfect kind of setup, because I'm Not Who I Was had gone number one. I had just won New Artist of the Year, and I was literally about to release that record. First single on it was Give Me Your Eyes. And so I had this like 1-2 punch.
Give me your eyes for just one second. Give me your eyes so I can see everything that I keep missing. Give me your love for humanity. Give me your arms for the brokenhearted, the ones that are far beyond my reach. Give me your heart for the ones forgotten. Give me your eyes so I can see. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And I was a new artist. And there is, you know, it's like the new car, the new thing. Everybody wants new. And so when you're the new guy, there's an advantage and a disadvantage, because sometimes it's hard to get your foot in the door when you're the new guy, because there's lots of new people. But if you can follow it up with being the new guy and having really quality music, it really works. And it felt like it worked for me for a while. And so, yeah, I think Give Me Your Eyes, it sold platinum. And that's kind of a rare thing in our industry to do.
Platinum equals?
1 million sales.
Wow.
Yeah, which is cool. It's amazing. I mean, you look at streams now, and I guess that would about be the equivalent of 1 billion streams. Somebody would probably correct me on that. But it was a lot. It was a big deal. So that's really what put me on the map, was Give Me Your Eyes, I would say.
Album number three.
Yeah.
Man, this is a good one right here. Tell me about Leaving Eden.
Man, thank you. Okay, first of all, it's probably my least favorite cover. I look like the Terminator.
You look like a mature third album artist to me.
Yeah, I look like I'm out to get somebody with my leather jacket. And I think it was pleather. It wasn't even real. So, you know, my sophomore release was so big that my third release, I felt really confident, you know, and I was starting to kind of take some artistic risks.
Was there pressure?
No, there wasn't. No, there wasn't any pressure because I just felt like I had an easier journey than a lot of people in the beginning of my career because things, for whatever reason, just worked. It felt too easy. And I literally remember about the time when we were making Leaving Eden, I was like, I'm going to be really bummed if these songs don't go number one, because I was consistently getting number ones. Your Love was the first release off of that record and it went number one. And so I was just feeling like the flow of it. But then we released Leaving Eden.
Headlines read like a warning, we're under attack. One more step away. I just waved to a stranger, he didn't wave back. One more step away. And if it weren't for my TV, I wouldn't know what is real. One more step away. My doctor can't do a thing for how I feel. Feels like I'm leaving Eden. Feels like I'm leaving Eden.
There was a line in that song that said, teacher is hiding her Bible, but at least she's got a job. A lot of radio stations did not like that line. And the content of the song was really, it was about the brokenness of the world. And people, I don't know if people really wanted to talk about that. I don't know if that was really what people wanted to talk about. But for me, there was no resolution to the song. It was just, this is not Eden. We have left. We are actively leaving the way that God made the earth. You know, we are reshaping it. We are leaving. We're not going back until we go to heaven. It was an artistic song. I still love it. I'm proud of every song I've ever put out, but it didn't have the success that I had had four previous number ones, and it just didn't have the success. And so that after that, I would say,
if you were dabbling in artistic whatever on Leaving Eden, you were drinking from the fire hose on this one. And
yeah, that is true.
As a fan, I was so in on this moment.
Man, thank you. So when I made Blue Mountain, I was kind of going through a really tough season in my life. I was going through a really hard breakup. Just some things that I had built around me crumbled and left. And so I remember that season being in a lot of pain. And it's amazing what can come out of pain. I think really great things. There's a song on there called Diamond.
I got treasure up in heaven. I got dirt all over me. I have only scratched the surface of the man I'm meant to be. I got something down inside of me that only you can see. Help me dig a little deeper now and set that diamond free.
I listened to the song Diamond yesterday. Because you're saying one of the artists that you know,
they don't go near their old stuff.
If I go to any of my old stuff, it's often off of that record, Blue Mountain, because it's the record that felt the most me. I was unapologetic about it, and I still am. It's still my favorite record. But it was an artistic direction that I went. I allowed the South, which is where I'm from, to influence me. I used a lot of country songwriters on that record, which they were already my friends. Yeah, it's my best work I've ever done, Blue Mountain. I aspire to one day make another Blue Mountain record.
I would challenge any listener right now to go back and listen to this record front to back. I'm going to go out on a limb and go, man, I want to say out loud, Dying Day is your best song in my head.
Wow.
Yeah.
Corey Mann, that's a big statement.
Sonically, lyrically, I'm even getting a little emotional staring at the title of it, just going, man. And I just remember getting to that point of the record going, dude, you went for it. I mean, yeah, you're going for it on this thing.
Blue Mountain Penitentiary, been housing sin for centuries. I am just a number, not a name. And you wear a gun and hold the keys, but you've always been good to me. Only see the man and not the shame. And I haven't seen my wife in years, last memory is her in tears. Wonder if she'll even come tonight. There's something that she doesn't know she needs to hear before I go. Could you tell her I'm all right? Would you pray with me? Touch the hand of a sinner. Would you stay with me? And be my guest.
Yeah, I remember the day we wrote that. I wrote that with Lee Miller and a guy named Ross Copperman. And Ross is an amazing producer and writer and artist. He actually just started doing his own artistry. But we just started. I wanted to tell the story of someone on death row. So, you know, arguably the worst place that you could be other than solitary confinement, you know, in the criminal justice system or whatever you want to call it. So, I mean, you've done something that the state has considered worthy of execution, which is, you know, it is a very controversial topic. Some people would go to the an eye for an eye verse in the Bible. Some people would go to thou shalt not kill. So I'm not sure where, I don't know if we want to go there in the podcast today, but for me,
were you starting a conversation?
I might have been. One thing I do know is that there's a lot of innocent people on death row, people who've been wrongfully accused. And the other is that I just don't know that killing someone, I don't feel that in my spirit is the right way to go. And I've had people challenge me on that. You know, if somebody were to harm one of my children, you know, you go as dark as you want to. I think for me, and that would be very difficult. I don't even want to know what that reality is. But what I would hope that I would try to do is go towards forgiveness and love, because that's what I've received. And, you know, I've made some mistakes in my life, certainly nothing to end me up on death row or prison. I mean, I've gotten a few speeding tickets in my time. I'll be the first to admit that. But there is something that I encountered. I have a family member who did some time in prison, and I visited with someone on death row, and I noticed this level of forgiveness that they have received that I do not know. I do not know that absolute forgiveness that this person on death row knew. And so that's where it really what inspired that song, because we're all criminals. We all, you know, if we sin, then we do so against God, and that's, you know, that's a crime. But Jesus, it doesn't mean that I don't think people should not go to prison, even though I think that system is broken as well. There should certainly be consequences, but I also believe that restoration, rehabilitation, and forgiveness should be a big part of it.
You pick up a hitchhiker in Franklin who does not know who you are. It comes up that you're a musician, and the hitchhiker says, "Let's hear it. What do you play for them?" Curious if it's this record, or do you go with something else?
I'd probably play him "I'm Not Who I Was." That's a great question. But I'd probably play him "I'm Not Who I Was." And then I would probably play him something new. I know, like, if somebody doesn't know who I am, if they listen to Christian music, all I have to do is play Give Me Your Eyes and they're going to be like, oh, that's you. Because that literally happens at my own concerts. People will come to my concert and be like, I didn't know that was you that sang that song. It's hilarious.
Oh, I see what you're saying here. So you're wondering, do I go the easy route and go, this is probably the most recognizable one, or do I have a moment of, this is something I'm proud of, I'm a musician, here, listen to this.
Yeah. Okay. And isn't it funny, it's my first two records that I would play for him. If we're going to listen to a record front to back, I'd play him Blue Mountain.
And we'll be right back.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And let's pick up where we left off. No Turning Back. What comes to mind when you see this one?
Okay, so No Turning Back is a record that I did with Ed Cash, one of my favorite producers ever, and people. I've known Ed since I was a teenager. I met him through Young Life, and I chose him for that record because I wanted to tell the story of my camp experience, which, so the photo shoot was actually done at the camp where I met Jesus in 95. So that came out in 15, and that was 20 years, the 20th anniversary of my coming to know Jesus. So I really wanted to mark it with a record. And the song No Turning Back is a song that was modeled after what we call Say So. And it's when at the end of the week, a kid will stand up and say so. And it says in the word, let the redeemed of the Lord stand and say so. So that's really what that song was about. It was never really intended to be a single. I wanted it to sound like camp. I wanted it to sound like the celebration of a decision that you've made. But the label, they really wanted it to be a single. So it was one of the singles. And if I was ever feeling pressure to make a record, it was that one. So after Blue Mountain, it was successful critically, but not in sales. The record label's like, okay, Brandon, you had your fun. We need to make a record that's really going to like go down the center of the lane.
We need Give Me Your Eyes again.
Yeah. Thanks, label. So I turned that record in, and I remember my marketing person at the time saying, this is the record that we needed from you. Thank you so much. I'm proud of every song on that record, but I felt a lot of pressure making it. There's one I wrote for my wife on there called Girl of My Dreams. I think it's one of my top streamed songs. But one of my favorites is also on there, and it's called Everything Must Go. So I would challenge you, Corey, after this podcast, go and listen to Everything Must Go. It's one of my favorites.
Well, why wait till this is over? Let's get a little taste right now.
Finally got it figured out, what I can live with or without. Getting rid of what's crowding up my soul. What's the cost of living free? What I own, what owns me? Make a little room for love to grow in a stereo. Everything must go.
When you hear a We the Kingdom song on the radio, speaking of Ed Cash, where does your mind go?
Oh, well, Ed Cash, if I hear his voice, because he was my camp musician when I was at Frontier Ranch. And that was right when I was a baby Christian, when I was just learning about Jesus, when I was just coming to accept who I was in Christ. His voice was my soundtrack. So to this day, and I've told him, when I hear him sing, it's one of the few moments when I truly worship. Because I'm coming from a very pure space. He is like a big brother to me, and his voice is the soundtrack of when I came to know Jesus. And people will tell me that my voice is that for them? People who are like in their 20s and 30s now will say, man, I was listening to your music when I first came to know the Lord. And I know that feeling. And to me, it's like a high compliment when you say that to me.
Our final stop in show and share. Okay. Faith, hope, love, repeat.
Repeat, yeah. I did that. I went back to Dan Muckola, who I did my first three records with, and Blue Mountain. So my first four records with. It was my last record on my deal. I really kind of wanted to go out with a bang. I wanted to just pack it with single after single after single. So I kind of stepped away from Storyteller Brandon on this record, and it was my most pop record. I had a lot of fun making it. It's very clean. It's well produced, and yeah, I love it. One of my favorite tracks on that song is one that I did with Tarn Wells called Got the Love. It's a fun one. 'Cause I got the love. Once you feel it. And then the last song on the record is another one of my favorites, but it brings it back to, it's just me and an acoustic guitar. There's no tuning on my vocal. It's a raw vocal, one pass on guitar and vocal at the same time. And then we put some strings behind it. It's a very raw song. And I think it was a really great last song to leave that season of my career, which was a 14 year run with Provident. Only One in the World is the name of that song. So I'm really proud of that song, that it's raw and it kind of bookends where I started and finished.
Between that last record and where you're at now, I apologetically lost touch with you. So I'm dying to know what you were doing.
Well, it's certainly not your fault that we lost touch. I kind of went off the map a little bit. On purpose. We had a baby in 17, which is when I put that last record out. And, you know, Corey, you see us artists a lot of times when we've got something coming out. You know, it's kind of like when you're watching late night talk shows and stuff. If somebody's on the talk show, they've got something coming out.
Yeah.
They are promoting what they're working on. Aside from that, you and I, Corey, are actual friends. So
I appreciate that.
At least I believe that. But for me, I really needed to focus on my family for a few years. I played 130 shows in 18, which is probably the last time that I saw you was in 18. Played 130 shows. So add travel days onto that. I was gone almost half of the year and I had a newborn baby. That was a mistake. I made a mistake that year and I just was not home to help my wife with our newborn baby. So I had to really kind of reevaluate in 19, what is my touring career going to look like from here?
Did that cause friction between you and your wife?
Yeah. Oh, for sure. It was friction, but it was also hurt. And for me, I was feeling disconnected from, you know, I was a new father and I really wanted to do a good job of that, but I wasn't home a lot.
Was it her saying something to you going, hey dude, where are you? Or did you have a realization of what did I just do? Or was it both?
No, it was both. In 18, I was having a rough time. I wanted to be home. Our baby was the cutest baby ever. Palmer is her name. She was just the cutest thing, and it would hurt when I would leave, you know. But I felt this responsibility to, you know, provide for our family, and, you know, allow CB the opportunity to be home and take care of our baby, so she didn't have to work. And so I felt like I had to take all these shows, you know, and it just was a mistake. So we had to reevaluate in 19. What was my career going to look like going forward? Also in mid-19, I had to go to counseling. I was starting to, I wouldn't call it an identity crisis, but I had not really mourned the loss of my father very well. He died in 17. And like I said, we had a baby right after he died, and then I was gone on the road. And so I was too busy to really mourn the loss of my dad. So I got myself a counselor, and there was just some childhood stuff that I needed to work through that I wasn't able to work through with my dad because he was now gone. And so I would say it was what my therapist calls a lucky break, because it was a moment for me to really prioritize working on myself and getting healthy and being home. We had another baby in 19, and we kind of had to rebuild our family, and I had to rebuild what my career looks like. And so starting in 20, that's what I did.
Christmas is coming.
Yep.
Underneath your tree, in that box, as you open it, is a flashy old school red phone like you and I grew up with.
Yep. Like the president used to have by his desk.
Yeah. Or Batman. You pick up the phone and dad's on the other line. We've got 5 minutes, son.
Oh, God. You're going to make me cry right now. Why'd it have to be my dad? If I had 5 minutes with him, I would want to say, Dad, I'm so bummed that you never got to see my house and you never got to meet my kids, my girls. I would want each of my girls to have a minute with him, because I would want them to talk to him. So I would give up a minute each for each of my girls. And then I would just tell him that I miss him. And I think I would ask him if there was one piece of advice that I would want from him. I'd probably just say, hey, when I was 3, what would you have done differently? Because my dad left our family when we were 3. I think I'd like to ask him what would he have done differently? And then the poor guy would just have a minute and a half to answer that question. So, but I do miss him. Comes and goes. The grief comes and goes.
Okay. You've had some amazing moments in your career. Can you give me a this can't be happening moment?
Yep. Actually, I have a visual aid behind me here. This is the moment. Okay, so I mean, if I hadn't had a career, this would not have happened. So this is a patch from NASA, and you will see a name on it, Terry Virts. Okay?
Okay.
Terry Virts is a friend of mine, and he was the commander on this expedition to the International Space Station. And he commissioned me to design the patch for the mission.
Whoa!
So this now hangs in Mission Control, and it always will be. Another guy, Scott Kelly, he's the guy that historically spent a year in space, and this was the mission that he flew up on, 43. So there's a documentary you should watch. He has a twin, and so they were doing a study on he and his twin on the effects of space on your body. And then this guy, Skeplerov, is that it? I can't read Russian very well. One of these is Skeplerov, and he left yesterday. He is going back on a mission. He's a cosmonaut. Yesterday, he flew to the space station with two actors, and they're going to film the first movie in space. So this, to me, is better than a Grammy. Because when I was a kid, I was a huge fan of space. Just, I still am. Last night I was up late watching a documentary on space. I just love it. It makes me feel close to God. It makes me feel small. the fact that I got to go to Russia and watch the mission, and then there, my patch was on Terry's spacesuit and these cosmonaut spacesuits. It's a part of history. I am beyond, like, I cannot believe that happened.
Follow-up question, what was the name of that documentary?
I think it might be called A Year in Space.
Okay. I heard a bell ring. Is there something going on?
I just had this idea.
There it is.
I just had an idea for a new Hot Pocket.
Oh, okay.
It's going to be, there's going to be vegetables in it, so it's healthy.
Okay. That sounds like a not so Hot Pocket to me.
Well, I'll send you the prototype when I have it.
Okay. Brandon Heath, artist, patch designer,
inventor
of Hot Pocket future.
Food scientist. Yes.
Professor Brandon Heath, you are now teaching a class at Belmont, and you've got 20 to 30 students who have signed up to take your class. What would you like to teach these kids?
Oh, man, I'm going to steal it from my friend Bob Goff. Failure 101. So Bob teaches this class at Pepperdine, and I think it's either called Failure 101 or How to Fail. The whole thing is talking about, like, daring to fail, being willing to fail, because failure is the only way that we get to success. It's critical in our journey to success. And so, if I'm correct, he fails everybody in the class. So,
wow.
It's not a pass fail. It's just a fail. It's really a pass. I just thought that was a brilliant idea for a class. And it really is something that should be taught more, that failure is actually a really important part of our journey in life. So I'd probably piggyback with him on that one.
Let's end with some severely silly quick questions.
Okay.
Do you have Carrie Underwood's number in your phone?
I believe I have the current number, yes.
Any updates on a Sophisticats reunion?
Oh, man. I forgot that I told you about Sophisticats. No reunion in the works. I will say our former director, Sophisticats was the show choir that I was in high school. Thank you, Corey Mann. Our director has got cancer right now. And so y'all be praying for her. Her name is Bobby Jean Frost. And I would imagine that we may get together, hopefully, because she's a survivor. There may be a small get together. Funny you should ask.
Did a deep dive on your Instagram. I saw Brandon Heath's soccer dad on there. How much are you enjoying that?
I'm actually loving it. My best friend Rusty is the coach. Last week, he showed up late to the game with a Starbucks in hand. If you're going to show up late to something, people, just leave the Starbucks in the car. Don't tell us why you're that. That immediately tells us you could have been there on time.
That's a Seinfeld episode, actually.
It's a Seinfeld episode?
Yeah, when Elaine's boyfriend got hit by a car, and she's listening to the story as he's laying in the hospital, and she's popping juju fruits or whatever. And he's like, where did you get those? And she's got them all in her mouth, and she's like, well, I was in line when you called.
So ridiculous.
Yeah.
So anyway, I had to jump in for Rusty, you know, rally the squad. But we did win the game.
Give me a little bit about new stuff and we'll end on that.
I have a new Christmas song coming out this year, which I'm really excited about. It's the first song that I have written in 13 years by myself. Corey, I'll send you a little preview after this. I'm really proud of that. And I'm putting out a new song in like a week. It's called Another Song About Love, which I'm excited about. Wrote that with Apollo LTD. Those guys are like brothers now. Love them. Fellow NASA nerds like myself. and new record coming out in, I believe, April of 22, I heard recently. So I've got to turn it in by Thanksgiving of 21, and it'll be out April 22, which I'm super stoked about.
Have you decided on a name, or that's to be determined?
I believe I have decided on a name, and I believe the name of the record is Enough Already. Enough Already.
For some reason, I see an exclamation point at the end of that.
Enough Already! No, yeah, that's kind of the trick that I want to pull. I want you to see one thing, and then when you hear the song, I want you to hear something different. Good to see you, my friend.
I can't see you in your car right now, thinking that you already figured it out. This is a song about love, another song about love. Asking yourself, haven't we heard enough? Isn't there something else that we could think of? That's not about love, another song about love. Of all the things we talk about, it always seems to come around to one thing. Then one thing leads to another. That's right, it's the one thing money can't buy. But it don't mean people don't try, that's how they mistake it. Looking for love in the wrong kind of places. So if you don't mind, I'm gonna lay it out one more time. Another song about love. Another song about love. Another song about love.
What else with Corey Mann on the Studio DNA Podcast Network? Leave some feedback, write a review, hit the subscribe button so you never miss a new episode. What else with Corey Mann on the Studio DNA Podcast Network?
And my wife wants to say hi. I'm going to say hi to Corey.
Please.
Yeah.
That's yeah. Around your
podcast? Yeah, yeah. Yeah, she hates
hi,
me
Corey. Recorded.
Hey there.
I actually was going to come down here and just say that you're one of our favorites. And anytime you send Brandon a text and encourage, he's like, Corey, love the song or whatever. So it means a lot. And I just wanted to say thank you for doing that.
Hey, high five.
No,
way to go.
I really
that was not planned.
I love your husband. CB, every time I get a chance to just be around him and all of this stuff goes away so we can just be two human beings, it's one of my favorite things.
We're big fans in our house of Corey Mann, so
we
thank
are.
Thank you for your encouragement.
This was great, my friends. I appreciate you guys.
Thanks for having us.